We have your Bibles. We want to turn to the passage we read together in 2 Timothy and the chapter 1. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. I want to look at verse 12, the latter part of verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. A sure and steadfast faith. Let's look to the Lord. I pray the Lord to bless us today. Father, we pray that thou be with us around thy word. We pray for a word in season. We pray give everyone understanding, Lord, of thy truth today. We thank you why we live in this world and that we have the promises of God. We thank you we have the comfort of the scriptures. We're glad we can rest everything upon them and upon Christ. I pray now for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be given to me and for thy Spirit to be given to the congregation. That we might, Lord, know and hear the word of God today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great giants of the faith are found throughout all the word of God. You don't have to look too far into the book of the Old Testament and you'll see mighty men of faith. Men who love God, who follow God. Men like Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Daniel, even David, a little shepherd's boy. When he had to stand and he had to fight against Goliath. David fought by faith. David won his great battle by faith. And as you and I would come to the New Testament, we find that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul stands head and shoulders above all others in the New Testament. You can see by a study of his life and by listening to his words, that here is a man who knew Christ. That here is a man whose heart is full of faith. That here is a man who did many things for God because he had faith in the promises and in the power of the Word of God. You only have to listen to the words of our text. Here's a man, as he lived in this world, had a sure and steadfast faith. Because he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and so on. But I want you to notice this. Apostle Paul said these words when he was a prisoner. In the verse 8 of the chapter we read together, he refers to himself as his prisoner. There he is in chains, there he is in darkness, there he is in captivity, there he is in a sense, and he's gone through a very, very difficult and a hard time. But for all of this, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He says, I know. There he is in the dungeon. You know, it's easy to sing when you're top of the mountain. It's easy to boast about your faith when everything's going well in your life. But when everything is going wrong, that's a different story. And everything, in a sense, was seemingly going wrong in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was being hated for the gospel of Christ, and he was being cast out into prison. But he says, I know. Indeed, you find in chapter, verse 15 of chapter 1, he talks about, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. His friends had deserted him. People who stood with him in the gospel of Christ, who supported him, who prayed with him. When he went out and did campaigns and preached the gospel of Christ, when he looked around and there were his friends, there was Demas. But now he's forsaken. Now he is alone. He says, I know whom I have believed. Maybe, child of God, in the service this morning, you can identify what I'm saying here. In the life of the Apostle Paul, you feel, in a sense, in a dungeon. You feel, perhaps, you've been deserted. You feel very lonely and forsaken. I know whom I have believed. He is about to die. In chapter 4 and verse 6, it tells us about him. That he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's going to die a martyr's death. Going to appear before Nero here for the second time. Going to be put to the sword. Slaughtered, in a sense. put to death. Dark clouds is gathering around the very life and heart of the Apostle Paul. But he says here, I know whom I have believed. Here's a man who's assured in the steadfast faith. He was very confident, very, very confident that everything was well with him. For I know whom I have believed. Assured, steadfast faith. I want to notice, first of all, about the boast in his confession here of faith. I know whom I have believed. And you can see immediately, he's very confident in what he is saying. He knew all was well with his soul. Now, there are many organizations, and there are many people, and there are many so-called Christian organizations that tell us it is impossible. It is impossible for anybody to know that they're saved, that their sins are forgiven, and to know that they're on their way to heaven. It's impossible to know. But Paul says, I know. You can think about his boast that he knows. Take, for example, the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. They teach that it is wrong for anyone to have assurance of salvation. And this is a little quote from their writings. It says, no one can know with a certainty of faith which cannot be subject to error that he has obtained the grace of God. Then it went on to say, if anyone saith that a man is born again and justified, is bound by faith to believe that is assuredly in the number of the predestined, let him be anathema. And they went on to say, if there's anybody who says, well, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood of Christ, I'm justified by faith, then what would they say? Let him go to hell. That's what they say. Because that's what the word anathema means. They said, if you say that, that you go to hell. You can see in the Roman Catholic teachings, they don't know. They say it's wrong to say that you know. They will condemn the very words here of the Apostle Paul, who says, I know whom I have believed. Then, of course, there's Arminians. You know, there's Calvinism and Arminianism, and there's great schools and great men on both sides. Well, they don't know other. And John Wesley was a great man. I couldn't even tie his shoelaces. Man full of love, man full of zeal for souls. And yet when you come to his writings, he said, I believe a saint may fall away. That one who is holy or righteous in the judgment of God himself may nevertheless so fall from God as to perish everlastingly. That's what this great man, John Wesley, now he was a tremendous preacher, a great evangelist, a man who was used mightily of God, and yet he tells us here that he doesn't know. There are some of God's people, and they might not make it home to heaven. Then you have Islam. They talk about coming to the end of your time, and the good put into one scales, and bad put into the other scales, and depends how good or how bad you've been, and then you'll get into heaven. But they don't know other. They don't know other, you see. I want to say to you, Apostle Paul, in his boast here, in his confession of faith, he says, well, listen, men, I know. I know, you see, he is not from any of these schools at all. He says, I know whom I have believed, and the reality of his boast, you see. He says, in these words, he is showing quite clearly that you can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. The reality in his boast, I know, and you can know, that you're saved, your sins forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven. If you search the Bible, you'll find that's the teaching. There are other people who said the same things. Job said in Job 19, verse 15, the 26, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. But I want you to notice here in the reality of the book, even of Job, way back in the Old Testament, he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know even after I'm placed in the grave, and even though the worms destroy this flesh, I know in my flesh I shall see God. You see, he knew. He knew the reality of being saved. The reality of knowing God. The reality of having your sins forgiven. The reality of knowing that you're on your way to heaven. He says, I know. In 1 John 5, verse 13, John could write, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And we can see clearly here the reality and the boast of the Apostle Paul, and the reality of knowing that I know I'm saved. I know I have eternal life. I know when I die, says Job, I know I will rise again. I know I will see God. You see the reality here in this faith of the Apostle Paul. He says, I know, I know. Do you know as well with your soul? In this service today, can you identify with the words of the Apostle Paul? And can you say to me, Noel, this morning, in this meeting, I know whom I have believed. I know. It's a real and definite thing to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. The certainty in his boast as well, you can see the reality and the certainty in it, because he says, I know whom I have believed. There's no room for one shadow of doubt here. There are many things this man did not know. But he knew this. He knew he was saved. He knew he had Christ as his Savior. He knew the certainty of salvation, the certainty of forgiveness, the certainty as he lived in a troubled world and in a sinful world and in a world of persecution and in a world of trouble. He had the certainty, a certainty of salvation that he knew. He knew it was well with his soul. Right in the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And notice here the certainty, writing to this church of Corinth, he says, we know these things. After this body dies, we know without a doubt we have a house eternal in the heavens. We know we're going to heaven, and we know we're saved, and we're certain about this. Was it Fanny Crosby wrote that hymn in 1885? We are going to a palace that is built of gold. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where the King in all his splendor we shall soon behold. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the children of the Lord. But they have a right to shout and say, oh, the certainty in the faith of the Christian faith. We know that we're safe and going to heaven. See, the Christian faith, the true Christian faith, is one that is sure and certain. You can know. You can be certain about this matter. The most important thing in your life, to be saved and to know your sins forgiven and to know you'll never be punished in hell for all eternity. And to know that you're going to heaven, you see. It is a certain thing in the Christian faith. That's why I'm glad we have the Bible. And I'm rejoicing preaching the Word of God. It is sure. It is steadfast. It's a faith in the Bible. But I want to think about the humility of his boast. Because sometimes people think, well, I know, think they're boasting. And they're boasting, they know this, they know that. And you meet them all the time where people, you think, well, that man there knows everything. I'm not looking at anybody in particular when I said that. But there are some people think, well, but they know everything. But you know when the Apostle Paul said, I know. He was humble about this. He was not sticking his spiritual chest out. I'm saying proudly, listen, I know, I am better than everybody here that I'm speaking to, everybody who has heard me preach. I'm better than the scribes, I'm better than the Pharisees, I'm better than any saint. He never said those things about himself. In fact, he searched the Bible, he says he was the greatest of sinners. The chief of sinners. When it came to the saints, he said he was the least of the least of all saints. He was the worst saint. In verse 9 of this particular chapter, he says, who has saved us of God and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There he gives it all to Christ, all to God, all the glory. He said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, "For by the grace of God, I am what I am." Oh, the humility of his boast. I know, he says, but he's very humble about this. He's not proud of what he's saying. But I tell you this, he can say it with all of his heart, "I know whom I have believed." If anyone says to you, you shouldn't say that you know. You tell him you only say what the Bible says. You tell him you only say what the Word of God reveals to us, that we know in whom we have believed. We know we're saved. Ask you, before we go to our next point, do you know? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're forgiven? Do you know you have everlasting life? Do you know today in Market Hill here this day that you're on your way to heaven? Do you know it's well with your soul? It is well. A wonderful thing to be able to say that. Wonderful thing to say the same words as the Apostle Paul, "I know whom I have believed." I'm not saying you know everything. You certainly don't, neither do I. But we know this. It is well. It is well with my soul. I want you to notice secondly here about his confession of faith. The basis for his confession of faith. If you notice what he says, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Notice the Apostle Paul, he was laying his complete and utter trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. "I know whom I have believed." And if you have a margin, you have that. "I know whom I have trusted." I know whom I have trusted. That is what he is saying here. Here's the basis of his whole faith. He is resting everything upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not say, "I know what I have believed." And that was very important, to know what you believed. He did not say, "I know when I believed." And that would have been correct, because he did know when he believed. He did not say, "I know how much I have believed." And he knew a lot of the scriptures. He did not even say, "I know in whom I have believed." But he gets even closer in this. He says, "I know whom I have believed. I know the person into whose hand," as one writer says, "I have committed my present condition, my eternal destiny. I know who he is. I therefore, without any hesitation, I leave myself in his hands." And here's the basis of the faith of the Apostle Paul. "I know whom I have believed." He committed everything whereto into the hands of Jesus Christ. And that's a tremendous blessing. The C.H. Spurgeon says, "What was this which Paul had committed to Christ?" Because he says in his text, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him." What did he commit unto him? Well, the Apostle C.H. Spurgeon says he committed to him everything that he had for time and eternity. His body, his soul, his spirit, all fears, cures, dangers, sins, doubts, hopes, joy. He just made a clean removal of all his from himself, that all that belonged to himself, to his Lord. And C.H. Spurgeon said he took everything that he had, his cares, his fears, his love, everything, his sin, his soul. He gave everything to Jesus Christ. "I know whom I have trusted." He placed everything in the hands of Christ. All was laid upon Christ, you see. "I know whom I have believed." He knew Christ. He knew him personally. He knew him as Savior. He could remember that day he was saved in the, there on Damascus Road, and the Lord spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, who art thou, Lord?" He could remember that day he was saved. He came to Jesus Christ and all his sins were forgiven. He knew Christ as his Savior. He knew Christ as his Savior. Child of God, do you know Christ? We know Christ as our Savior. Maybe you just can't think that day or date. Some people can't, of course. But you know whom you have. You know that there was a day you called upon Christ.
He said, Lord, save me. Wash me in the blood of a lamb. Give me everlasting life. He knew him as his God as well. In Titus 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew who Christ was. The second person of the Trinity. This one who was Lord and one who was King. I know whom I have believed. I know Christ. I know who he is. He's the Lord of glory. I know all about him. He knew him as his friend. Because over there in chapter 4, verse 17, he talks about Demas and them forsaking him. And verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. How others left him, as I said in their introduction. But now he tells us here, the Lord stood with me. You see, he knew him as his friend. What a friend I have in Jesus, he's saying. He is my Savior. He is my God. He is my friend. I can depend upon him. I know whom I have committed everything to. I have committed everything to my Savior, to my God, and to my friend. It's not a wonderful thing to be able to do, child of God. The basis here of his faith, to lay everything in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You see, he's laying everything on Christ. That's the basis here of his faith. You'll find he refers to Christ in three different ways. I know whom. Then he says, that's one, that I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. See, it's all to do with Christ. He was not trusting the temple. He was not trusting his religion. He was not trusting anything to do with his ability. Everything was to do with Jesus Christ, and he had committed everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't give it your all, your soul, to anyone better than Christ. Who will you commit your soul to be saved, unsaved in this meeting? Who will you depend upon for eternity? Will you depend upon your parents? Are you going to depend upon this church? Are you going to depend upon yourself? Listen, commit everything to Christ. Give your all to Jesus Christ. Your soul is the most precious possession that you have. Give all to Christ. Paul did this. Everything he had, he just laid it down upon Christ. I know whom I have believed. He just gave everything he had. His cares, his fears, his joys, his sins, his soul, everything. He just says, I commit everything to the Lord Jesus. The very person of Christ was the basis here of his faith. And also about the power of Christ as well. Because he says, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, Christ is able. Christ is able to keep all that I have given to him. Everything I have laid in his hands, he is able. He is able to keep all of those things. See, as Spurgeon says, many of you have been troubled. As well as you're able to endure temptations, you need not debate the subject. It is clear that apart from Christ, you're unable to preserve on to the end. Concerning your own power and merit, write despair straightway upon its forehead. And that's true, not just of some Christians. That is true of every Christian. We are unable to persevere to the very end. If we were saved and left to ourselves, every one of us, every one of God's children would be lost. But he is able. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. He is able to do it. He is able to save. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. They come unto God by him. But notice what he says. He is able. He is able to do this. He is able to save. That's why the Apostle Paul could lay everything into the bosom, into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the very uttermost. He's able to keep, but tells us that in the text. But also in Jude, verse 24, "Lay on to him that is able to keep you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And that's a tremendous word. These are tremendous words in Jude. He's able to keep you from falling completely. We do fall, we do fail, each one of us. But fall away eternally. He's able to keep you from that. We couldn't keep ourselves from such a fall. The devil's out. He's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But here it tells us that he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. You can rest in the Lord. You can trust in the Lord, you see. He is able. None of us is saved by our power. From the very start to the finish, it is all to do with Jesus Christ. And here he is. He talks about the basis of his faith and whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. I am persuaded, he said, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And then he talks about the perseverance of Christ against that day. That day, whatever day that may be, the day of death. He will keep me to the very day of my death. He will keep me in the day of judgment. He will keep me in the day even of eternity. He will keep me forever and forever. I can always depend upon Christ. I may be hated, says the Apostle Paul. I may be weak. I may be at this moment cast down into prison. But he is able. Christ is able to keep me to that day. Oh, what a friend he had in Christ. The Lord Jesus could say in John 18, verse 9, that the saying may be fulfilled which he spake, "Of them that thou givest me, have I lost none." I've lost none. Do you think that the Lord's going to lose you? Do you think, child of God, that they're going to lose everything when you've committed everything to Christ? Do you feel in your life at this moment that everything is going down the drain? Maybe there's some is in this meeting. Circumstances in your life. You feel you're going to lose all. Listen. You'll not be losing all. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. These are tremendous words of faith, you see. Corrie ten Boom said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." And I said these words again. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I do not know what the future holds. And there's the same for everybody in this service. We do not know what lies ahead, what we can trust them. We can trust Christ when you've laid everything into the hands of Christ. "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You see, we're believing on a person. Our whole faith rests. Everything I have rests upon Christ. His honor, his power, everything rests upon Christ. He will not lose us. He will not certainly fail any of his children here in this meeting. We're resting on Christ. The Apostle Paul in prison, in darkness, and deserted, and hated, and about to go to death, about to be put to the sword. He's resting in Christ. Are you resting in Christ this morning? Maybe the devil, child of God, has taken your eyes off Christ, and your eyes are on your circumstances. And your problems and your trials and your difficulties and the future seems so uncertain. Get them back in Christ this morning. Make these words of the Apostle Paul your words. Make these words of his confession your confession. Before you get off the pew today to go home, say, "Lord, I know whom I have believed. Everything is well with me. Everything is well with my soul." You see, the basis of his confession. Can I say a last thing quickly? Our time is gone. The blessing of his confession. It was a real blessing to his own soul to be able to say these words. No doubt, he was blessed with peace Because it tells us there in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, a sound mind." There was a peace that filled the heart of the Apostle Paul as he was in that cell. I would say there was a peace that filled the cell, because he knew that whom he had believed, everything was laid upon Christ. Nothing could disturb that peace. Nothing could take away that joy from him. Nothing could take away the confidence that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. "It is well. It is well with my soul," you see. And he had a peace that only Christ could give him. "Be still," we sing to him. "My soul, the Lord is on my side." It got him great peace. And you know, child of God, when you just leave it all there with Christ, all your burdens, all your needs, just lay it all in Christ, and you've committed all to him, it is well. It is well. Your best friend, the Lord Jesus, is sorting everything out for you. The Lord Jesus is holding, the Lord Jesus is with you. Fills your heart with peace. "I know whom I have believed." And the devil fires fiery darts of lies at you. Say, "I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed." And they fill you with power, of course, as well. Power to stand, because if you go through a difficult time, he said to, in verse 10, chapter 2, "I endure all things for the elect's sake." He was going through a difficult time, but nevertheless, he had power to suffer all these things, because he knew what he was doing was right and what he had was right. And power to serve. He tells young Timothy there to do the work of the evangelist. In verse 5, do the work of the evangelist. And when you know that this is the true faith and everything is well with it, you can proclaim it to other people. You can tell other people, "I know whom I have believed." We can knock doors. We can go out onto open earth. We can meet with people and say, "Listen, I have got the truth. I know the way of salvation. I know that Jesus saves. I know these things are true 100%. Then we can bring the message to other people. Bring the good news to other people. Because we know in whom we have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto us, unto him, against that day." The blessing of such a confession. Have you this blessing in your heart this morning? And if not, turn your heart upon Christ. Child of God, turn your heart to Christ. Even just where you sit. Say, "Lord, I just commit all to your care, because I know you." Has the Lord ever failed you in the past? Not a bit of it. Is he not your friend, child of God? Is he not your God? Is he not your Savior? You can depend upon him. You cannot depend upon your best friend. Should it be your wife, or should it be your husband? Should it be your mother? Should it be your father? And every one of them certainly love you, and everyone can help you in their own particular way. Well, there's none like Christ, there's none like him. We can rest everything on him. We can depend upon him. And you can depend upon Christ even this morning. If you're unsaved, commit your soul to Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. The hour is too late. And come and trust him with all of your heart. May the Lord write his word upon all of our hearts. It has been an encouragement to God's people, even at this time. We'll sing.